Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The 2020 Summer Olympics are over as of summer 2021. And that sentence sums up the oddness around these games. Yesterday marked the closing ceremonies of an action-packed yet controversial 2 weeks in Tokyo. These Olympic Games brought us a 13-year-old skateboarder winning a bronze medal and a 62-year-old equestrian doing the same. The United States took home 113 medals in all, more than half of them earned by women, including the USA women's basketball and volleyball teams, which both won gold, plus track and field superstar Allyson Felix, winning her 11th total Olympic medal to become the most decorated American track and field athlete ever, even after overcoming a dangerous pregnancy 2 years ago. But what happened off the courts and the mats and the tracks made as much news. There were real discussions about mental health and, of course, about health, given the games happened during an enduring pandemic. Everybody, we want to hear from you. What were some of your favorite Olympic events to watch from the past 2 weeks? Was there a favorite moment or gold medal event that sticks in your brain you found exciting or heartwarming? Give us a call, 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. Were you following a certain athlete or team? Did you just like surfing the channels, watching it all, maybe catching up online? 646-435-7280. Were there any events that you hadn't watched before that surprised you and thought really, really exciting? What did you think about the lack of fans? There's so much to discuss. 646-435-7280. We want to hear from you how you experienced this year's Olympic Games in Tokyo. To help us reflect on this year's games and also take a closer look at some of the issues with how the media covers the game, something she likes to call covering the coverage, we welcome back Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the sports podcast Burn It All Down and writer of the Power Plays newsletter. Lindsay, thanks so much for being here again.
Thanks for having me.
So you write this newsletter. So what would be your headline about the Tokyo Games and then the subheadline?
Okay. So it's, you know, you mentioned this in the lead. I think it would be about how, you know, American women completely dominated in Tokyo is the headline, and the subhead is it's time to support them outside of the Olympics. So time to give these athletes the support, even when it's not Olympic season.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more. You know, usually there's a performance or a moment of triumph that comes to represent an Olympic Games, how it will be remembered. It's the miracle on ice in 1980 with the U.S. hockey team, the U.S. basketball dream team in 92, the Fab Five in Rio and gymnastics in 2016. What win, USA or otherwise, do you think is a moment, or if you have more than one, moments that you think this Olympics will be remembered for?
Yeah, I think that honestly, it's not it's Simone Biles. I think Simone Biles and pulling out for her mental health, the team rallying to win the silver medal in her absence, and then you know, Simone coming forward and winning that bronze on balance beam. I think that's going to be ultimately what this Games is remembered by.
Do you think there'll be a lasting impact in terms of athletes' mental health? I can remember we covered a documentary that talked about some of the severe impacts in terms of around people having suicidal ideation, athletes either after because they're such a huge letdown or before because they have such financial difficulties. And, you know, everybody seems to be aware that there are these mental health issues, but not a lot done by it. About it, I should say. Do you think Simone Biles may have made an enormous difference?
I hope so. I think it's up to, you know, there are a lot of people virtue signaling and their support for Simone over the past 2 weeks. So what I hope is that organizations are looking at what resources they have put in place for athletes to gain mental health, you know, support. And I think that every single, whether you're a team, whether you're, you know, leading, you know, a country gymnastics program or a country sporting program, or even if it's just you at your own individual office, you know, I think that everybody needs to make sure that mental health resources are available. And I think what we see going into these games is that mental health it's not even separate from physical health. You know, they're so intertwined. And so if you want the best performance from your athletes, if you want your athletes to succeed, if you want to have, you know, the best chance of success, you need to give everyone support for their for mental health.
Let's take a call. Orlando is calling in from Astoria on line one. Hi, Orlando. Thanks for calling All of It.
Thank you so much. Thank you for my call. I wanted to talk about Jade Carey, the woman gymnast, young woman gymnast who won the floor, the gold. I found that performance so inspiring. I had to watch it on the BBC because at first it wasn't available. And every time I saw that performance, like, I cried. And I watched that thing so many times on the first day. And it was just like her personality, the way she did it. And I heard that she did had an unfortunate performance the day before, I believe, on the vault. I didn't watch that one. But it was the way she followed through, and it was the music. And it was just so inspirational. And it just reminded me of, like, the rising of the human spirit. So that's what I wanted to say.
Was it a good sort of escape or salve for what we've all been experiencing, Orlando? Did you find, I know a lot of people, my friends said, oh, it was so nice to concentrate on something else.
Yeah. I mean, the Olympics itself, it was nice to, I always love the Olympics because, it's a great marker of time. And also, I feel like the whole world is watching, like the World Cup. So, like, everyone's attention is on it. So it's a lot of electricity. And, yeah, it's nice to not be in COVID, but also, right, that everyone worked through all these things through COVID. And really, it is about it's funny because they're competing with each other. So they're competing against other humans who are, you know, also trying to achieve and succeed. But at the same time, we're competing against ourselves and we're competing against our own circumstances. So to see someone rise up, you know, against, like, our own challenges is, it's amazing. Yeah.
Orlando, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Nicole calling in from City Island. Awesome. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, it's Nicole the Witch again, the one you remember from a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, City Island and the Witch and the Witch. You're one of my favorites. What did you love about the Olympics?
I think it's probably about the elements of sharing and how the two athletes.
Oh, I think we lost Nicole. My guest is Lynn.
Women who are running.
You know what? Your phone line's bad, so I'm going to have him put you on hold so we can get your phone line figured out. My guest is Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the podcast Burn It All Down. We are talking about the Olympics. Lindsay, just take off your journalist hat. What was your favorite moment, a favorite win that you were just like, oh, yes?
Oh, my gosh. There's just so many. I can't stop thinking about the 400-meter hurdle races, both the men's and the women's. Shattered world records, and you know, you got to see these races where both the gold and silver medalists in both races would have broken the previous world records, and I just like to see greatness pushed that much. Oh, they were just absolutely thrilling races.
Yes, let's go to Sheila on line 8, calling in from Manhattan. I think she's agreeing with you. Hi, Sheila. Thanks for calling All of It. Tell us about your Olympic feelings.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Sheila.
Yes. Yes, my favorite part of the.
You know, let's put Sheila's line down. We are having bad phone line issues today. It is so insane what is going on. The gremlins are in the machine.
It's a Monday.
Let's see if we can get Larry from New Rochelle up. Let's see. Fingers crossed. Larry will be on the radio in 3, 2, 1. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Hi, Allison and guests. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Tell us about your Olympic experience.
First of all, before I go to Allison, I just want to let you know that I've been listening to you since you debuted this show, and even from before the show that it was in this time slot, so you know how far back I've been listening.
Love it. We appreciate your loyalty, my friend. We do.
Yes. Yeah, so, of course, you know, as I tell your screener, that I'm coming from a different angle because I can't help but as we say in my country, big up my country ladies, the women's 4x100, 1, 2, 3. and the women's 4x100. And the women, just like in the U.S., the women are the ones who carry the country. They are the ones who were on really, really outperformed the men.
Love you giving a shout out. We appreciate it, Larry. Let's try Beverly on line two, who's been holding. Hi, Beverly. Thanks for calling All of It. What was your Olympic experience like? Beverly. Beverly, are you there? It's such a Monday. My guest is Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the the podcast Burn It All Down. Okay, they promised me Beverly's there. Beverly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You are on the radio. Go for it.
Yes. I would just say I thought the Olympics went really well. I was impressed with the preparation and the day-to-day coordination and activity. And the thing that really struck me and that I was really happy for her, Simone Biles getting the bronze medal. Mm. I think when life is difficult and you're able to rise to the occasion and focus on what your needs are and how to improve, it's the major accomplishment. Life is not easy. There's good, bad, happy, or sad times, and you just have to remember throughout all those times to be who you are, and that's who she was. And she came back, and she won the bronze. And the other person is Allyson Felix, getting 11 medals. I was really excited for her because going through pregnancy difficulty, nobody talks about that mm-hmm. when it comes to events. If you don't participate, then they think that you're failing and you're not reaching potential and all that nonsense, and recognizes that she did it on her own terms. And that's what struck me about the both of them. And shout out to the Jamaican women who just took the place, goals for Jamaica. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Beverly, I'm so glad we got your line cleared up, because that was an excellent recap. It's so interesting. You know, for folks who aren't really aware of the Allyson Felix story, Lindsay, can you give them a capsule summary of, aside from just the amazing athletic achievement, what she has gone through in the past few years in terms of sponsorships and in terms of her difficulty pregnancy?
Yeah, she had a very difficult pregnancy. And, you know, she had been, you know, one of Nike's premier athletes. I mean, she, before this Olympic Games, she had 9 Olympic medals. So one of the most decorated champions we have. But came forward finally and said that Nike had actually not supported her during her pregnancy. You know, as far as, you know, pay and appearances. And she ended up leaving Nike and kind of going out on her own sponsorship wise and blazing a new trail on it. Like, Nike had to completely, in that wake, reform its pregnancy clauses in its contracts, so that hopefully the women it sponsors now and in the future won't have the same problems that Allyson Felix did. And then, you know, she goes and she wins 2 medals. She wins the gold, I mean, the gold in the 4x400 meter relay, and then she wins the bronze in 400 meters. And she's now the most decorated, you know, track and field athlete that we have. 11 medals. It's just a remarkable story of resilience. And, you know, to be able to do that as a mother is just, it's so special.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. What were some of your favorite Olympic events to watch? Was there a favorite moment that sticks in your brain you found to be exciting or touching? Give us a call at 646-435-7280. Did you follow a certain athlete or team? Did you just like taking it all in? 646-435-7280. Did the controversies surrounding banning certain athletes or the public health situation in Tokyo or lack of fans turn you off to this year's game? We want to hear from you folks, too. 646-435-7280 is our number. We've got a couple of people holding. You can also tweet to us at All of It WNYC. After the break, we'll talk to Lindsay Gibbs about her covering the coverage. She saw some very interesting things and made some very interesting points about the hypersexualization of women's bodies. We'll talk a little bit about that, as well as get to some calls about someone who's a little bummed about the Olympics this year, and then someone else who wants to give a shout out specifically to a Syrian refugee who was at the Olympics. We'll hear more about that after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My ride along this hour is Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the podcast Burn It All Down. You are my guests as well, listeners. Let's go to Alex, who has been holding. Alex, I gave a little tease to about your answer, but I want to hear it in full from you. Alex is calling from Toms River, New Jersey, by the way.
Hi, I love your show. This is my second time calling, and I love talking to you every time. But I just wanted to give a shout out to a Syrian refugee. She currently lives in Germany. Her name is Yusra Mardini, and she is an athlete in the 100 meter butterfly. And I think that she has one of the most inspiring stories I've ever read. It's called Butterfly. It's a memoir. And I think that she's just amazing. And she competed in Rio under the refugee Olympic flag. And then she competed again in Tokyo. I don't know if she medaled this year, but she's still just like, I watch her and I'm like in awe that she came so far, and she's like hanging in there and she's just doing amazing stuff.
Love that you called in. Love you gave us a reading recommendation. Alex, thanks for calling in again. Ken on Twitter says, I wish I had a role model like Tom Daley when I was growing up. It would have changed my life. Mm-hmm. He's gay, out, married, gold medal winner for diving, knits and crochets on camera. What a guy. Love that, Ken. Thank you so much for writing in. Let's go to Andy on line three. Andy had a little bit of a different experience. Andy, thanks for calling All of It. We want to hear about your experience.
Oh, hey. Hi, thanks for your show. Can you hear me okay with the dogs in the background?
We love dogs on this show. So, yes, we can hear the dogs, and we can hear you okay.
Good. So I just kind of gave up on the Olympics as soon as Shikari Richardson got excluded from the games, because I'm not a person of color, and I'm not not a pot smoker either, but I just couldn't deal with the level of unfairness in that. I know it was the rules, quote unquote, but you know, Michael Phelps is still there being honored and getting endorsements. And I even think I saw some news stories about other people this year staying involved in the games for the U.S. team, even though they were, sorry, I'm working, so I'm out of breath, but all right. even though they were using pot or whatever other things were going on, just totally turned me off. Can't watch the Olympics because I'm thinking about the U.S. Olympic Committee and, you know, bringing up memories of Kelly Struggs, I think her name was. Carrie Struggs. Thanks. I was a little kid then, but just, you know, those memories with Simone thing and everybody just saying no to this insanity of the structured, whatever, running the Olympics for the U.S. team. I don't like them. I don't want to be part of that. And it's just put a bad taste in my mouth. So I just tuned out.
Andy, appreciate your point of view. Yeah, we have some folks, Lindsay, who just weren't into the Olympics this year. Another person said, NBC's coverage is terrible. I saw 8 hours a day of it due to my job. The idea that everyone has an amazing personal story is ridiculous. They should have covered the events more coherently. The constant jumping around was disruptive. Now, you, in your newsletter, you have something called Covering the Coverage, and you hold the media accountable for how it covers sports, especially female athletes. And you crunch some numbers on how many Olympic female athletes were covered in the last 2 weeks, and the results is mixed a fair way to say it?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. So it was actually the Respect Her Game organization that worked, the Represent Her organization that did this report. And they looked at just the NBC primetime, the first week of the Olympics. So the primetime, you know, and that would be the thing that NBC wants to highlight the most, you know, the showcase they put the most money behind. And it actually, 60% of the show was focused on those in women's sports, which is incredible considering women's sports usually only get 4% of all media coverage. So it was clear that highlighting women was a big part of their plan, but it was still staggering the way that, they were talked about. Women were more exposed and sexualized by the camera and their uniforms. Men are still the commentators. Men made up 82% of live Olympic commentators. And overall, we're still seeing men's sport viewed as the default. And the way that, you know, they quantified that was saying that, you know, most of the time, about 10 times more, you refer to a female athlete or a female gymnast, as opposed to you use the gender qualifier 10 times more often in women's sports than you do in men's sports, which just reiterates and just reinforces this idea that men's sports are the default and they're the normal. And additionally, women are still overly infantilized. They're using names such as girl or lady far more frequently than you would use, you know, boy for the men's sports. And there was even a chick mentioned, which I thought was staggering. I could not believe that.
Oh, say that again. There was
a female athlete was referred to as a chick.
Oh my.
On primetime coverage. So, you know, it's so frustrating because even when women's sports are finally getting the media attention that we wish they got all along, you know, they're still suffering from so much bias in the coverage.
Let's go to Karen on line 9. Hi, Karen. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm calling to give a shout out to my daughter-in-law who coached the American women's beach volleyball team to a gold medal. And for me, she's a terrific coach, obviously, but it was such a stunning act of generosity because she herself had been eligible to play in the Olympics a few years ago, and her partner got pregnant and didn't let her know in time for her to qualify with another player. So if she'd gone that year, it would only have been as an individual. So her name is Angie Akers, and she just did a fabulous job. And obviously, April and Alex did a fabulous job. They were glorious. So I just thought people should know that, you know, those sort of things go on behind the scenes. There is that kind of generosity, you know, to make another person's dream come true.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story. We really appreciate it. Let's talk to Denise on line 7, calling in from New Jersey. Hey, Denise, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thanks, Allison, for having me. Two things struck out for me for watching the Olympics. Definitely watching the Jamaican women celebrate. They bring so much joy when they win. But Simone Biles, just really having the courage to step out and say, I am not doing well. I'm a black woman. I'm a mental health counselor. And one of the things we know is that black women carry around a lot of undiagnosed mental illness, like depression, anxiety, undiagnosed. They just function with it. They know they're not doing well. And I think that it takes this young lady so much courage to call out and say, hey, and I think it starts the process of change. Naomi Osaka started it. This Simone is continuing it. And I think we're going to see a lot more attention being given to our wellness and overall health. So thank you for hearing me.
Denise, thank you for sharing. Really appreciate it. My guest is Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the podcast Burn It All Down. We are talking about the Olympics, which wrapped up yesterday. You know, it seems like athletes were feeling very empowered, Lindsay, to speak up. They have had their views. We've talked about Simone, but also about racial injustice, social issues, or how many athletes are mistreated and have little economic or social freedom. What do you make of this sense of self that a lot of these athletes have now, that they are willing to speak up, you know, because once upon a time people didn't do that because of potential endorsement deals and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it's nothing new, of course. You know, we've been seeing athlete activism forever, but I think you are seeing a little bit more of it now, and I think it's because of social media helps a little bit. But also, I think, you know, I'm a millennial, as are a lot of the athletes we saw. And I like to say my generation has kind of, you know, gone through a little bit of a wake up where we've grown up kind of realizing this myth of being loyal to the people who are, you know, your employers, and that'll pay off in the end, right? Just, you know, toe the company line. that that's not actually true, you know, having gone through all these recessions and, you know, really just kind of had to deal with the short end of the stick so often. And I think as you've seen the corruption in these governing bodies and in the IOC, and as you've seen, you know, corruption all throughout the sports world, you know, these athletes are starting to realize the people who are making the rules don't always have their best interests in mind. And so it's up for them to use their voice and to use the platform that they have to deliver the message they want. And, you know, more and more we're seeing sponsors encouraging that, which is going to impact the biggest change, of course, when the sponsors are supporting, you know, a Colin Kaepernick or, you know, insert athlete activist here, you know, when the sponsor sticks by them, that's going to make the governing bodies want to keep quiet because they're going to want to work with these sponsors as well. You know, they need the Nike sponsorship. They need these endorsements as well to keep the bottom line going.
Everybody who called in, thank you so much for sharing your Olympic reflections. And of course, thanks to Lindsay Gibbs, co-host of the podcast, Burn It All Down. No thank you to all the gremlins in the machine, in the phone box at the beginning. No thanks to you. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.